You said there was something else in that article from The Athletic that you wanted to,
yeah, man,
to bring up.
So it just, I don't know, if, when I read it again, it just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks.
And yeah, that must have hurt. Probably thrown at you by Cam at this point.
And it just stuck out. I'm like, they said, Anthony Slater and them reported, the Kings offered the 13th pick for Caruso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm kind of glad, like, if that was what was offered, I'm kind of glad the Bulls said no. I wouldn't want to give up the 13th pick for Alex Caruso. And I like Caruso.
Really?
I think he would be a great addition. But the 13th pick is going to be part of a trade package that gets you somebody, gets you a bigger, better player
might
than
be.
Caruso.
We were talking about on the producers earlier, the insiders earlier, like, if, like, would you guys have been okay if, like, Caruso was the move? Because after that, like, your assets, like, unless the Washington wants Barnes and or Barnes and Herter or something like that, like, you're really working with less now.
You are, but if it's for the pick and that, like, that's it, am I fine with it? No, but I also don't. So this is the tough part. I think he's trying, whether it's Kuzma or they're trying. It's not just Monty, it's Wes, it's the organization is trying.
Right.
If they can't land Kuzma, you got to do something. I wouldn't have like celebrated it, but have been like, all right, that's a good addition. We've talked about, you know, run it back part two, how it's not super far fetched.
Right.
You know, we can build these ideas of trades and free agent signing. We could do that to death. Mm-hmm. In reality, like that's might not happen.
Right.
So if that wound up being the move that they made, like I wouldn't be celebrating, but I absolutely wouldn't hate it. I don't feel the way that you do.
I wouldn't want to give up just that pick for just that player.
I would have. Isn't
Cause that well that that's probably
in the Kuzma in the last year of the deal.
Who is?
Isn't Kuzma?
Caruso, yeah.
He's getting Kuzma. He's, yeah, Alex Caruso. Isn't Caruso in the last
year? Because that was what was initially reported is OKC plans to
sign
him to an extension. Yeah.
It's 80 million, right?
Four for 80. Which it's a good deal. It's fine for the caliber of player he is. He's a 2-time all defensive player.
Yeah, it's a little problematic though here.
What's that?
That deal. That's more than Malik makes.
Yeah.
And like I understand like the dynamics of how all of this works. That's tough.
And here's the other. Now he is a top flight defender. So I would say with him, it could work. But everybody worried about being too small and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I'm always thinking about the closing lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Closing lineup. You're going Fox, Caruso, Monk, Fox. Keegan, Sabonis. If he was, yeah. He was your move,
yeah,
and people aren't worried about that being, you know, too small of a lineup or anything like that. Maybe not, because Caruso is such a top flight defender. Maybe, you know, he's like a Marcus Smart, like a Drew Holiday, where like even though they're 6'3" or whatever, they can guard guys from 6'7" to 6'6" feet. You know what I mean? They got that type of range as a defender. Maybe Caruso is that type of player. But that's a kind of a small backcourt.
I hear you. I hear you.
So I'm kind of like you. I wouldn't like be like, oh, get him out of here. He doesn't know what he's doing. I'd be okay. Yeah. If it was the only move, it'd be like, okay.
Well,
that's whatever.
So
but
Stella,
I would want more though.
Stella posed an interesting thought here. If they wanted to get Caruso for the 13th pick, then they must know Caruso was the ceiling for this offseason.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
It's a good observation. That's a good observation. Hmm. Hmm.
Damn, Stella.
They may look, I mean, that's
I don't know. That's tough.
That's for sure Mike that's Brown tough. Type player.
Caruso? Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
That's for sure. Mike Jones.
Absolutely.
Third, yeah. Tall, well, TCG. I ain't going.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, yeah. That's the way.
TCG says yep. 13th pick for Caruso is a no-brainer. Yeah, no-brainer is a no. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I disagree with you, but Stella's remark is kind of standing out.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, is the 13th pick required to land Kyle Kuzma?
And I guess maybe that's where my mind is, because if I believe it is, so if it is, you're closing the door on Kuzma.
I don't think that it is. And I don't think that it's required to land Zach LaVine either. Because Zach LaVine is so expensive.
Well, I don't think it is for Zach LaVine. I disagree with you. I do think it is for Kuzma. Because
okay.
If you don't have the 13th pick, why would Washington want anything you have?
Well, does it have to be this year? Because you could have a protected first-round pick or however you wanted to do it. Because if you're Washington, or if I'm Sacramento, I pitch to Washington. Look, you know that this draft isn't really good. You're figuring out your direction, and are you building around Jordan Poole? Or is that your next thing you got to figure out? So why don't we put you in a position in a better draft to potentially take a better player?
Well, I see you cooking, but it wouldn't be next year.
It wouldn't be.
They couldn't offer that one. It would be, my first thought is it would be 27 is the one that, if you weren't going to offer this year.
It could be.
Because you couldn't trade.
You couldn't 26 trade the 26 pick, yeah.
Because you might not have a pick in 25.
Yeah. Or so. You just make a wink, wink, we'll trade you, we'll draft for you in the 26 draft.
Yeah. Could do that. I mean, that's off the record.
Yeah.
Hell, the GM might not even be in Washington.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, that's the other thing.
But, I mean, if you could, though, like if you could just go as far as 26 – I think that's a good point that you make. I think that's a good proposal. But I don't know if Washington would do 27 as a starting point. Maybe that means you add another first round pick on it, though. Maybe right now it's just the 13th pick will get Kuzma. But if you don't want to give up 13 this year, you give 27, maybe 27, maybe just 27. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 27 and 29. But
I just don't think you give up multiple first-round picks for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah. So I guess that's where the premise of me not wanting to give up the 13th pick for Kuzma.
Because you want it for something else.
Yeah, because I feel like that will close the book on getting Caruso.
I think the only person
or something like that.
I think the only person we've talked about who it would completely close the door on, and you'd be really difficult for you to change my mind, is Brandon Ingram. However, it's worth pointing out, unless I missed it, please tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think of all of the names that we've talked about, I don't think Brandon Ingram's name was mentioned in the Athletic article yesterday.
Well, I didn't see it. No.
LaVine was. Mm-hmm. Kuzma was. Mm-hmm. We know there's validity to that. Brandon Ingram is just someone we've talked about because of the situation Brandon Ingram is in. Mark Stein's reporting, he's out of there.
Yeah, Mark Stein doubled down. Yeah, on
that. The New Orleans is in a, you know, they're in a different position. Their general manager was like, "Well, this isn't working," and so it's like, "Okay, what's this look like?" So we, Kings fans, we started putting this idea together, but it wasn't mentioned yesterday. So maybe it's not. Maybe the Siakam situation was enough of a headache to where, like, yeah, we don't really want to do that again. And we have enough intel to lead us to believe we're not getting anywhere with Brandon Ingram, so we're not going to put a ton of energy into that.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but the Kuzma mentioned yesterday was more so of they've long sought Kyle Kuzma. It didn't say anything as if right now they're actively trying to
get him. It didn't say actively. It said long sought in something along the lines of interest remains, and it's kind of similar with Zach LaVine. Mm. We know that the Kings have had interest in Zach LaVine, or people within the Kings organization have interest in Zach LaVine dating back to, at minimum, the beginning of last season.
Yeah. If it almost feels like Monty McNair, he gonna get Kyle Kuzma come hell or high water. I don't know if it's going to be now or 2 years from now. But he has been hot on the trail of Kyle Kuzma since he got to Sacramento.
So you know what the weird part about that is? Wasn't the same true with Dante DiVincenzo?
Yeah. And he got him. And
Yeah, and then lost them.
Yeah, well, it didn't work out the way maybe he thought.
Now Dante and Kyle Kuzma would be coming into the Sacramento Kings in completely different mm-hmm. roles and situations. Mm-hmm. But I would love to know exactly what happened with Dante DiVincenzo.
Me too.
And it could just be as simple as dollars and cents.
Yeah.
916-909-1320, our brother Jeremy on the line. Jeremy, what's going on, man?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
So here it is. I think if we can get Kuz, it's a good thing. If we don't have to give up too much. But other than that, I feel like we kind of figured out what our rotation and how to play our players by the end of last season. I think this team has a lot of growth, and I think they have a lot of chance to do really well just as they are. So if nothing happens, I'm not going to be that upset. But if we can get Kuz, I think that would be a great addition. And check me out at the Wise Guys Comedy Club, Las Vegas, guys. I'm going on the stage. I got it, anyway.
Oh, right on, man.
Shout out to you, big dog. Well,
all right. All right, everyone, pile in. We're going to Las Vegas. Salute, Jeremy. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, anxious man. Absolutely.
Anxious to hear how it goes. All right. Kyle Kuzma, Zach LaVine, Brandon Ingram, and reminiscing on Pascal Siakam. Couple of names we haven't talked about yet, and we will. Also, Trista Crick coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Jason Jones coming up in the final hour of the show. Your calls all day long, 916-909-1320. And, of course, you could take part in the show through the Chatty House, brought to you by Matthews Mattress, where their Independence Day sale is jumping off right now from one sale right into another. They've got Tempur-Pedic on sale, Sealy, Stearns & Foster. They've got the Beautyrest and the Beautyrest Black on sale. They've got special savings with every single one of those brands. There's different things that you can do to get free pillows. You can get $800 off beds with headrests. You want the headrest. You want the one with the adjustable frame. You absolutely have to have that. They've got free same-day delivery for mattresses that are in stock. And best yet, Casey.
Yes, sir.
They have 48-month special financing with zero interest, with no money down, on approved credit, with equal monthly payments required. That is extremely difficult to find right now, and you can get it over at Matthews Mattress.
That is a steal, man. You can go to one of their 10 locations in the Sacramento area. I like the one in Elk Grove off of Wetlick and Franklin. Or you can go to MatthewsMattress.com, get more information on all the stuff they have, man.
Yeah, find out where the closest one to you is. Make sure you tell them that you are a part of the Chatty House. They will break out the champagne for you. They will roll out the. They will treat you like your name is Kenny Caraway if you tell them that you're part of the Chatty House. We'll come back. A couple of new names to discuss as they pertain to the Sacramento Kings here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
If your day sounds like.
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just bringing you right into the conversation here. I think one of the most amazing changes in the WWE presentation is they hired a producer who worked for ESPN. So he produced sports television. Mm-hmm. And they fired Kevin Dunn. And Kevin Dunn, you know, was a redacted guy who basically they had the same vision. They've been around the same amount of time. Like Kevin Dunn had been around since at least maybe 87, 88, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. And so, like, his vision for the product was essentially the same as Redacted's. Mm-hmm. And they brought this guy in, and, man, it is such a glaring difference in just the way that it looks on television. The way that WWE television looks is so different than what it looked like a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like these production elements that they've added, just the different camera angles that they've added, the lighting that they've changed during introductions is really incredible. They make matches. Like, one of the things that I always loved about Jim Ross as a commentator is he made a moment a moment. Like, he made it feel special. He made a, whether it was a title match, a title change, a heel turn, a babyface turn, he made it feel special. Mm-hmm. I think when you present something a certain way, when you put an opponent, when you put a champion and a challenger in the ring, and you present those two in the ring like it's a heavyweight fight, mm-hmm, in boxing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it gives it a different feel. Yeah. We know what we're watching. Right. We know it's a work. We know it's a TV show. But make us feel like what we're seeing is special.
Yeah.
And WWE has been able to create that. They've been able to, just with simple lighting changes, camera angle changes, they've made matches feel more special.
When did, I know you mentioned that they replaced the guy, but when did that happen?
Maybe a year ago.
It was within the last year. Within the last year.
Yeah, it was definitely within the last year.
It might have even been earlier this year, I think.
Yeah, because it was after WrestleMania last year.
Okay.
So, like, the presentation of WrestleMania this year was glaringly different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I find it.
Yeah, it's great. They're doing a great job, and hell, they're almost bringing Raw back with what they're doing the last month. Like, they're doing a thing with Raw.
Well, everyone, I know a lot of people are talking about how SmackDown is just phenomenal, and Raw's they're just a little bit behind right now. And Hunter said something. I don't know if he was talking about Pat McAfee, or which would make sense given the Indianapolis deal that they just announced. But they don't do that to Indiana.
Boo! At least you're not Utah.
Utah. Oh, that reminds me. There's just a little side situation that I heard about, but we'll talk about it after this.
Hunter was referencing the Netflix deal, and he was talking about the value in being able to present their product to the entire world at the same time. Mm. And we, you know, if you are a YouTube subscriber, if you're anything but like DirecTV, mm-hmm, and maybe Dish if they still exist,
yeah,
if you're anything other than a satellite company, you probably don't see Raw until 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Raw hitting Netflix at 5 p.m. is fire to me. Mm. Like, give me that. Because I saw the Uncle Howdy thing. I see the clips from Raw before Raw airs.
Yeah.
So I rarely see Raw in its entirety. I'm far more likely to turn on Raw when we get home from our Monday shows, mm-hmm, and watch it live than I am like today.
Mm.
And so I love the idea of that it airs across the entire world at, you know, 5 p.m. our time.
And you know what is kind of interesting is I'm a little old school, right? Where, like, I'm not going to ever be like, no, don't tell me anything. Stay away from me. I want to watch it when I get home. Yeah, but I'm more of, okay, I want to get home. If I am going to watch it, and, you know, sometimes we watch it at the dinner table or something like that, I want to see the 8 o'clock Raw. Like, I want to stay away from it till 8 o'clock, and that's going away. Another thing that's kind of going away that maybe only pertains to me and others is, like, on a Monday, it'll be really weird. It'll be like 10:30. I'm like getting Ryan down or something like that, or the night is winding down.
Ryan going to bed at 10:30. Damn,
it's long days when you got the little baseball player, basketball player. No. It's crazy. We have dinner at 9 o'clock sometimes, man.
Y'all are different.
So, I'll be getting her down, and it'll be 10:30. I'll be like, oh, Raw's on.
Mm.
Let me see the end of Raw real quick or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's going away to a certain, mm-hmm, degree. Now, obviously, it's all on demand. I could watch it, mm-hmm, whenever, but I'm still I don't know if prisoner is the right word to it, but I still love live TV.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And turning on the TV. Maybe that's why I haven't completely cut the cord, so I can turn on. I know you could do it on YouTube TV too, but just turn on TV, see what's on, or see something in the middle of what's going on or whatever. So that's going. I still think it's going to be great though, having it on Netflix and having that relationship and that dynamic.
Yeah, it's going to suck when Netflix is $55 a month.
Oh, Jesus. Damn.
You mentioned, actually, I mentioned there were a couple of names that we haven't talked about as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. You are the ones who presented these names to me before the show, so I don't want to scoop your heat, as Bret Hart would say.
Two names that...
If you don't mind, just start with the one that you mentioned to me yesterday. Because that's the one I'm...
That's where I was going to go. And I think this is the happy medium between myself and most Kings fans. Most Kings fans want just a defensive wing.
Mm-hmm.
Play defense. Hellacious on defense. I don't care if you can't hit a five-footer. I don't care if you can't make a layup.
I don't even think that that's what Monty McNair wants. I just think that's what Mike wants.
I don't care if you can't dribble two times. Just give me a hellacious defender. Some most Kings fans are. And I'm like... I don't care about your defense. Can you hit the corner three? Can you score? Whatever. The happy medium.
It's a lot like Kenny's game.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be back this Sunday. It's been a while. I'm supposed to be back.
Don't hurt yourself.
I think the happy medium is a guy that there was a little talk about earlier in the season,
mm-hmm.
and then it just kind of went away, and I don't really know where it's at right now.
Okay.
And that's Herb Jones. There was a moment in time during the season where Herb Jones is available, or those are the reports and people inquiring. I actually came because I was like trying to Google like what's the latest on Herb Jones. Couldn't find really anything since February 8th. Like just no talks about it at all, one way or the other. But one of the articles I came across is Kings inquire about Herb Jones, like in January or something like that. So if he's still available, if he was ever available, that might be a guy that I would check in with the Pelicans and see, can we revisit this? What are you looking for Herb Jones? I don't know what his trade value is or anything else like that. But one of the reasons why he was maybe a little expendable was they got Trey Murphy, who's due for a nice little contract extension coming up. And, they're trying to get their books right, I think, in one respect. And they got some redundant pieces as well. And I don't know. Maybe they think Herb is one of those guys. So I would tap in if I was Monty and see what's 100%. Going on with Herb Jones, because I think he is the happy medium, like I said, of a guy that's a 3-and-D wing, hellacious defender, very versatile on the defensive end. But he is a guy that can put the ball in the basket enough to make you respect him and allow him to stay out there on the floor.
I don't remember the Herb Jones available conversation as much as you do, but I'm all for it. I mean, especially we talk about like, yeah, there's probably a little bit of Griff kind of covering his ass here. Like, I've got to, this is not working. We've got to be better. He's also thinking, I got to clean up these books. Like, yeah. I've got to get us on track here, because they've put themselves in a position where making moves can be difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have pieces that I think Herb Jones would be. I don't think this is overuse of the word, like coveted. Like, he's a guy I think people would absolutely like to have. He did start 76 games for the Pelicans last year, though.
Yeah, and I don't know at this point, because I think a lot of that trade talk or people maybe thinking he was available had a little bit to do, and this makes a lot of sense, is if Brandon Ingram's on that roster. Because now you're looking at it where we got Zion, Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy, Nick Marshall, Dyson Daniels. Like, one or two of these guys got to go. And if you look at Herb Jones, they probably look at him as not being as good as Trey Murphy. But you could get something for Herb Jones. So that might have been some of the talk as to why he might have been perceived as available around that time. Now with Ingram being out of the plans, I don't see. If you just ask me, like I said,
Ingram's out of the plan.
We think he's out.
I mean,
Mark Stein.
Mark Stein is adamant.
He's gone. But if you ask me, I don't think they're trading Herb Jones. But I can't find any confirmation one way or another if he's in their future plans or if he's still on the trade market. But with Ingram being gone, I think it would be a little less likely that they would. They would be looking to move on from Herb Jones. But the issue is, and the situation is, Trey Murphy is their guy at the three. So if you've got Zion there, you've got the four position already taken care of. The four and the five is going to be Trey Murphy, Zion Williamson. New guy in Herb, you got a guy in Herb Jones who's making good money, but nothing crazy, like around $15 million a year for the next 3 years, mm-hmm. where maybe you could get something back. Maybe you can get the point guard you're looking for in a deal. Now, maybe you can get that with Brandon Ingram. You should be able to get that with Brandon Ingram, too. But I don't feel like they would keep Jones.
And what type of point guard do you think they're looking for, though?
Darius Garland.
Mm, all right. I hear you.
I mean, if I'm being real, and I'm a Pelicans fan.
A scorer, a creator.
Yeah, if I'm a Pelicans fan, if I'm B-Lo and JC, and I'm down here in the Noya,
yeah,
trying to figure out what we're going to do with this Brandon.
Now, is that B-Lo or is that JC?
Well, definitely JC, baby. It's you JC. Know what we okay, do, baby. We're getting ready for LSU football. LSU football right around the corner.
Just out of my own curiosity, what does B-Lo sound like?
Well, he sound a little bit more the same.
Oh, okay.
A little more polished or anything else like that. Speaks a little higher. But, you know, it's more the same. It's more the same, JC. More the same.
Okay.
But, look, if we was trying to get rid of Brandon Ingram right before we get ready for this LSU tailgate, mm-hmm. we'll talk about that real quick. And mm-hmm. we got to talk about what the Saints are doing in OTAs. Mm-hmm. We'll talk real quick about Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
I would be trying to make a move with the Cavs. That move with the Cavs is the move. That's the move. If I'm a Pelicans fan, move on from Brandon Ingram. You get maybe a Jared Allen and Darius Garland. Yeah.
Oh. So in that situation, you're sending Herb and Ingram that way, aren't you?
Sure.
Oh.
Sure. If I could get
Jared Allen back.
Yeah. I could do that.
I don't like that because I feel like that actually makes the Pelicans better. Well, of course, the Pelicans are the greatest team that ever existed when they play Sacramento, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But in terms of when they play the other teams in the league, yeah, I think that makes them even better.
Yeah, I say all that to say.
I love Ryan Clark's suit. Sorry, I keep looking up.
No, he bounced back today.
Yeah, that is.
He bounced back. I mean, yesterday wasn't a bad suit. I just didn't like. I didn't like the shirt.
It's a lot of pink.
Yeah,
it's a lot of pink. It's a phenomenal green suit that he's wearing. Sorry, Ryan Clark's is distracting me. Sorry, I apologize.
It's a double-breasted joint too.
I think it's one of you know how he wears them weird, It's double-breasted, but it pulls like way over it. Like
the camera. This has been a minute and a half.
Well, they're going over film. What are you yelling at the man for? Hey, look at how animated Orlowski is right now. At least Orlowski put on a jacket. I swear to God,
look,
I think
Orlowski
that shirt.
He faced the camera.
See, no, the camera faced Orlowski. I think that shirt Orlowski is wearing is a short sleeve shirt.
Oh.
I swear he wore that on Get Up without the jacket and it was short sleeve.
I don't think he changed.
But Ryan Clark gets the
that's nice.
Ryan Clark gets the Stuart Scott Award. Like he's the best dressed man on television. Kevin Agande's close. Nate Burleson is up there.
Don't sneeze on my boy that's on this show too that we never remember his name. He dresses really nice.
The brother.
Yeah.
I
think he might. He might get Ryan. Ryan's up there though.
My vote goes with Ryan.
Okay.
I'm going to put Nate second,
and
I got to put Kevin third. Kevin's my guy. And then the guy who we just can't remember, he's fourth.
He's the top three for me. Who's the worst dresser?
Orlowski.
Oh, he's worse than Richard Jefferson?
Well, Richard Jefferson's a goof. He looks ridiculous. Like, he does it. Like, it's a gimmick with him now. Like, I don't – when Orlowski wore – what did he wear, like a cardigan with the Detroit – like, nah, dude, you look terrible. Like, you're on the draft. This is your biggest day of the year. Why do you look like that?
He looked awful on the first day.
He did not look good.
Awful.
Sorry, I severely distracted.
No, it's all good. But the whole...
we're going to rename this show ADHD.
The whole thing was, I think you get almost everything you need in a Brandon Ingram deal, which would make it less likely that you move Herb Jones. But... I only brought him up because they were, you know, there was talks in the middle of the season of he was available. How true they were, I don't know, but there were talks. And
on that contract, I'd be surprised. They may be looking at Herb like they're, Kevin Herter. Mm. Like we're using him as a part of a deal that's going to land us Garland and Jared Allen or something. something bigger. Of course, they have this ultimate, you know, prize chip with Brandon Ingram. I think the interest, we don't know, what does Brandon Ingram want? That's been really, really quiet lately. I assume it's not to stay in New Orleans, especially after the last few months. But does he have a preference on where he wants to play next year? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Hopefully Sacramento.
That's your one.
That's
huh?
where you want to be. I think Herb Jones would be great for the Kings. I think like if the Kings were able to get Herb Jones and I think it's pie in the sky, but if they were, that would be something that could take them to another level. That would almost be like a Doug Christie like find and a guy that balances everything out.
Man. I'm with it. Yeah. I'm with it. What's the other name you're thinking of?
Other name I'm thinking of that we, you know, just kind of thinking about some things this morning, and I don't think I'll do this because I don't really want to work with this team, and I don't want to potentially help them out. But what about Andrew Wiggins? And Andrew Wiggins has had a tough time in Golden State the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think about is you talk about having a tough time the last 2 years. Who wasn't there the last 2 years? That Mike. Was there when he was doing work. It's Mike Brown. And you wonder if Andrew Wiggins was to come to Sacramento, would he be more comfortable? And would Mike Brown, I don't know if Mike Brown, how much influence he had, so I don't want to give him all the credit, but he was the defensive guy on that staff, and Andrew Wiggins was a top-flight defensive player. His defense might have won them the NBA Finals with what he was able to do in the playoffs and in that series against Boston. And if Mike Brown was the one to help unlock that, maybe Wiggins needs to get back in a place where he's with a familiar face or somebody that he's comfortable with in Mike Brown. And I would take I'd take a chance on Andrew Wiggins. It's been an up and down. It's been a rocky last 2 years for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he can ever get back to that place he was in the 22 playoffs. But I'd take a chance on Wiggins. He makes a lot of money, though. Makes a lot of money.
Do you have it in front of you?
I don't.
I do.
Jesse, do you? Oh, well, let's cook. Let's cook.
Run it.
Andrew Wiggins, the former number one overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft out of Kansas. Been in the league 10 years. 3 years left on his deal. Gentlemen, how do we want to do this? Earnings to this point?
Can anyone last one so we can pick?
Wait a minute. There's no, gentlemen, how do we want to do this? I'm the champ. I'm in control. I call the shots.
That's what I just said. I said you can call the shots because you won last game.
Don't agree with me.
That's what I said.
We're don't try and throw me off my game now.
I said let Kenny call the shots.
I'd also like to make it clear, I'm actually the one in charge.
Listen, Jack Tunney, I'm running things.
Damien allowed me to allow you to allow whatever.
That's
game.
It.
We'll
That's
go
it.
With the we'll go with the duration of the contract.
So with the 3 years remaining.
The three
okay.
years remaining.
All right. Very good. Oh, this is interesting. All right. So there's 3 years left on his deal. Andrew Wiggins' highest career earnings have already happened. Very unusual in this situation. Already happened in 2022 when the 27-year-old at the time earned $33.6 million. Andrew Wiggins, the former number one overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft, 10 years in the league, 3 years left on his contract. Highest grossing year was 2022 when he earned $33.6 million. Jesse Tapia, Kenny Caraway, won the last game. He is up 20-19. Career earnings for Andrew Wiggins are what?
I will go $223
million. $223 million for Andrew Wiggins.
Boy, cooking with that one. He cooking with that one. I ain't going to lie to you. He cooking with that one. He said 220 what?
223. Kenny Caraway insist on running commentary before giving us his guess. The former number one overall pick in the 2014 NBA draft. 10 years of experience, 3 years left on his contract. His highest earning year was 2022 when he earned $33.6 million.
I'm going to go 225, Bob.
He's going to go 225. He's playing a dirty game. And it pays off in victory.
Were we far off on this one?
Not at all. When his contract expires in 2026, now keep in mind, Andrew Wiggins will earn $26.2 million next year, $28.2 million the following year, and $30.1 million in the final year of his deal for a grand total of $279,841,256.
That's crazy. I thought Jesse had an excellent guess because I was thinking 230.
Yeah, I was going like 230 to like 200.
279. Goodness gracious.
You just give bags to anyone, huh?
Man, that is a...
So
it's interesting, though. Normally in these situations, his highest earning year, the player's highest earning year, will be the last year of his current contract. That is not the case. When his contract expires, his highest earning year will have been 6 years prior. Mm. And that doesn't happen very often when we do this game.
So you said he's got 3 years remaining?
Yes, 3 years remaining.
What are the years, the amount?
26.2, 28.2. And in 2026, Andrew Wiggins will be 31 years old, and he will earn $30.1 million.
He'll be 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Wiggins, like, if he got in the right situation and, you know, get his stuff, he can get another $100-plus million deal.
I think that's going to be tough right now for him.
We got a minute left. His career turned out, like, good, right? Like, he was the first pick and all that, but I think, all things considered, like, do you think he got the most out of it? He's got a ring. He's got money.
He was
the second best player, I think, in that finals.
And even before that, at one point, he was a career 20-point per game scorer, I think.
Yeah.
So,
like, they were expecting like Maple Jordan and all that stuff, but
yeah.
Like, hear me out a little bit. The best and maybe worst thing to happen to his career was Golden State, because it showed off what he could do on the biggest stage in the biggest situation. And, you know, you can make the argument he won them an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. But he was a hell of a scorer, mm-hmm, that you can be in Golden State, but that's Steph's show. Mm-hmm. And, hell, I think, you know, he overlapped with Jordan Poole, who was a scorer at times. You know what I mean? Yeah. Man, that's a hell of a question. I don't know. His career's not it's far from a failure.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. It's just a matter of...
I'll say this, though. That draft class was supposed to be the one.
Yeah.
Was that the Jabari Parker class?
Yeah. That was the one that was going to change the face of the league and all of this blah, 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 all of that stuff.
And the one that a lot of people who ended up loving ended up being right. Isn't that JoJo's draft, too?
And JoJo, I think, was two, right?
Two.
Was it?
No,
it was three. It was three. Yeah.
He's had a good career, and he's not even 30. I don't know.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know if there's another gear or if he can like rebound and get everything. But if he can get in the right situation to get his mind right, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years, he's got another $125 million on
deck. I wonder what the Warriors' thoughts are on him.
I think they're trying to move him. We can talk about it. We can.
That feels like one of those situations where it feels like it's probably best for both to move on.
That's a good call right there. Trista Crick joins us at the top of the hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. This is a good call. Let's get Ramsey in here then. 916-909-1320. What's up, Ramsey?
Man, just had to call in because I went to the Willie Mays celebration last night.
Nice, man. How was it?
It was simple, but the Giants always have a good production. I mean, they had Kroup, Kite, and Dave Fleming speak. They played a lot of montages of Willie Mays pregame throughout the game. And I mean, the statue out front covered in flowers and other items, and they had a lot of photo. They had a holographic rotating pictures on the pillar right out front of AT&T Park after the game, and a large 24 that lit up in orange. And if anybody saw the game, everybody wore 24 last night.
Yeah, yeah. I remember. Appreciate you, Ramsey.
Ramsey, did you cry?
No.
Oh, all right.
Where are you at, Ramsey?
Have you ever expressed emotion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most definitely.
I was just asking.
Where are you at right now, Ramsey? What you passing, man?
I'm on 80. On 80 West.
Hey, you going to come hang out with us tomorrow?
If I can hear the picks, yes. I got to have my nose head to write down the driveway.
All right. All right, Ramsey. If I can hear the picks.
Ramsey feels like a dude who listens to the radio while he's at the game.
Katrina?
Does Ramsey, I need them to confirm,
He puts the headphones on.
Katrina, can you confirm that this is true? I love Ramsey. I hope he can pull up on us tomorrow. And I hope you can pull up on us tomorrow. Tom's Watch Bar, right across from the Golden One Center in Doco. We are going to have a blast. We will get there right after this show ends. We'll be there in time for the start of the draft at 5 o'clock. And we'll be there when the Sacramento Kings select their pick at number 13, man. So it's going to be a great evening. Tom's Watch Bar. Tom's Watch Bar has been so great to us over the last few months. So come through, hang out, and maybe Ramsey will come and put his headphones on so he could hear the picks.
That's a win for me, because, by the way. Ramsey does listen to the radio at the game, so that's a win for me. Please put on the standings.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's a dub.
It's not a dub.
Actually, I have to mark.
Update that, man.
No, you're right, I did. First of all.
Am I going to let him talk to you like that?
You're over here treating me like I'm Sergeant Slaughter and you're Triple H. 21-19 is the score.
Oh, man.
Jack Tunney was commissioner for a long ass time. Or he wasn't the commissioner, he was the president.
He called the shots.
And the first and then I think Gorilla Monsoon was the president.
Yeah.
And then we faded out the president, like Roddy Piper was like an interim president.
No.
And then we faded all of that out, and then Commissioner Slaughter, and then I think we got Commissioner Shawn Michaels for a minute. Commissioner Foley was legendary.
But then it turned into general manager.
Well, remember when they had, well then we had, was it general manager for the night?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about like the 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like
every week.
Every week.
It'd be like a celebrity. Hugh Jackman,
who started that?
No.
Anybody know who started that? Who started the general manager for a night, the Raw guest host?
If you give me a true multiple choice, I think I can get it.
There's no way I can give you a multiple choice.
Is that obvious?
Oh, wait.
No, it's not obvious. It's Donald Trump. If I say it was Donald Trump.
I would have guessed that.
Yep. Count it.
Because he got his win back.
Count it.
Dumped it. So
it was when. This is so funny that he became president. When they did a bit, they did an angle where Donald bought Raw. He didn't buy the WWE. He bought Raw. Because people can't tell what's real and not. The WWE stock tanked so bad that they had to put out a press release like, this is part of the television show. Raw isn't a thing you can buy. It's part of WWE. This is part of television. So they had to correct that. And then Donald would start naming, well, So one change I'm going to make now that I own Raw is we're going to have guest hosts who get to make the rules every night, and now Snoop Dogg is booking matches.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Wait,
remember when the store he called...
That ruined stuff everywhere he go.
He called WWE when Vince blew up in the limo?
Yeah.
I think that on this date's coming up soon, too.
Is it? Oh, yeah, okay.
Benoit was in the summer, wasn't it?
Oh.
Well, that was last week.
It was last week.
Oh, that means we passed it.
Oh, then yeah.
Because Vince blew up in the limo before.
God, yeah, it was last week in the limo. Jeez.
Whew.
I wonder if we were ever going to find out who blew him up, or if it was just
Hornswoggle. It's always Hornswoggle. Vince, what do you want to do? What do you want the payoff to be? Hornswoggle. Every time.
God damn it, make it Hornswoggle.
Wow. I remember that whole "Who's my son?" and they really hinted that it was Hunter, which was so funny because like he was married to Steph already. Oh, that was good stuff. And then it wasn't. Then it
what
was
I feel is, and this is actually probably something. It's the reason why it's never really revisited. I guess is one of the classics to me is when Triple H married Steph in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the famous date rape episode of WWE Raw. Yeah, it's amazing. And they run it back like it's the funniest thing ever. They drugged her, passed out, and married her as part of the angle. It's like, there you go. Put that one right up there, man. With our old blackface skit that we did.
Come on, man.
Bro, if we didn't have the Ruthless Aggression Hour, like, what would we have with wrestling?
I don't know. I don't know.
Bro,
thank you, John Cena, for saving wrestling.
She was knocked out.
Yeah.
In the passenger seat at the wedding hall.
Yeah. Yeah, incredible.
And they got greenlit by multiple people.
Yeah, the amount of people that had to sign off on that for that to get the... Not one person went, you know, we shouldn't do this. Not one person.
And how does that even get like brought up? Like to tell the what you're gonna do, you have to speak about it. Like how do you say like, yeah, he roofied her.
You know whose idea it was? It's the guy who's running the company. It was Triple H's idea. Because like most of the stuff they were doing, they didn't know how to get out of this.
Mm.
The stuff with Test. Mm. They didn't know how to get out of it. And Hunter was the one who said, well, just I'll marry her. And that'll be part of the angle. I'll marry her.
Well, how are you going to marry her, Hunter?
Well, I'll have the fabulous Moolah slip a roofie in her drink at the bachelorette party, and we'll get married in Las Vegas.
Well, you think about the way things were going. Like, it probably didn't, like, it wasn't, like, the craziest idea, because I'm sure, like, the pills they were popping back then and stuff like that. Like, it was probably off the top of, like, just normal to them.
Probably nothing.
They didn't. It was the wild, wild
Hell, West. Sean probably had a couple. Just drop it in her drink.
It's like, boy, oh, boy.
And they still... It is, like, I'll be fascinated to see if they continue to celebrate these moments that are just so cringeworthy.
I think we're getting to a point where they'll start, like, moving away. Like, I feel like all the flashbacks now are, like, towards that mid-2000s era and, like, after now.
Like John Cena.
Yeah,
remember
like
when
stuff.
Rey Mysterio won the championship?
Yes, on an angle that was based off Eddie Guerrero dying.
Wait, was that also at the WrestleMania 2004 where Redacted won the main event?
No, that was a different WrestleMania.
Okay, I was going to say, that one can't use that one either.
That was a different one. Trista Crick's going to join us coming up in a couple of minutes. And we'll throw this question at her because... obviously, the Hawks are kind of at the forefront of the news right now with the draft tomorrow. You think Trae Young is getting traded?
I won't be on the fence. I'll say no. I think DeJounte gets traded. I think Quinn Snyder wants that reverse, though. I think he'd rather keep DeJounte and trade Trae Young.
Hmm.
But Trae Young... I don't. He's not without flaws at all. I do think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. I think Trae Young is one of the top scorers in this league. He can dominate might be a little strong, but he can do a lot on the offensive end that can swing a game. He's terrible on defense, horrible on defense, and who knows how much of a leader he really is. But he's one. No, but he's a game changer on offense.
Does a trade benefit Deontay or Trae Young more? Trading away. I think Trae Young, he needs a change of scenery now. I feel like everything they've done in Atlanta just hasn't worked. Like they've gone through three different coaches. They've gone through multiple rosters and all that. I mean, Trae Young, it felt like he was kind of not. It was like one of those read the tea leaves type things towards the end of the season.
But, like, where benefits Trae?
San Antonio.
San Antonio would be great.
So structure. Not that Quinn Snyder doesn't have structure. Like,
right. Playing with Wemby, I think that'd be great with each other. Like, I think he'd fit there on that team. They need a point guard, too. You got the picks, too, as well.
He's so deficient as a defender, though.
To make the trade.
To make the trade.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you got the fourth and the eighth, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're locked in on, I forgot how to say dude's name, though. I forgot. But the Spurs are locked in on.
Good. The Spurs are locked in on someone. Guys.
There's a player in the draft the Spurs have their eyes on.
We got news. The Spurs are locked in on a player in the draft, according to Kenny Caraway. Tweet it.
The guy who potentially might go number one. I forgot how to say his name, too.
Alexander Sarr? No, someone else. Because I saw him tied to the Spurs, too.
That's the French kid.
Yeah. That's the guy I was talking about yesterday, like 6'9", wing player, whatever the case may be.
Well, you heard it here first. Spurs are locked in on a player in the draft. Come on, man. This isn't the biggest radio show in Northern California. You talking about Zachary?
Zachary.
Yeah, I'm not even going. Yeah.
I knew how to say his name, too.
Well, I heard it this morning, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, say it. Okay, got it.
It's the same thing.
I don't have it. I, in fact, do not have it.
Risa Shure, I think.
Ramsey says Risa Shea.
Risa Shea. That's it.
I trust Ramsey.
Well, Ramsey's transistor radio told him that. Thank you, Ramsey.
Ramsey actually does turn the dial.
Bro, y'all should have heard your boy. Your boy. Don't touch that dial, folks. Sir, what dial are you talking about? All right, Kenny.
Risa Shea, that's a guy that allegedly the Spurs are locked in on. Like they really want him if he doesn't go number one. And there's a whole thing where Sarr is refusing to work out for Atlanta. He wants to go to Washington. So he's almost calling Atlanta's bluff, like, don't draft me number one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people like Risa Shea and think he's, you know, number one. I was thinking back to something we said yesterday. We were talking about this draft and how we both were of the mind, like, no, I don't know if there's any superstars. I don't know if there's any all-stars in this draft. But there are some good ball players in this draft. And I always, you know, maybe I'm, you know, too sensitive to it or whatever, but I hate when people are like, this draft stinks or it's not a good draft. Like, yeah, maybe you're not finding a franchise guy, but if you're doing your homework, if you know what you're looking at, you can find guys that can help you in this draft become a winning basketball team. And I think that's just what this draft is littered with. So, you know, I like I said, I understand why people say that. Like, I don't want to make it too big of a deal, but it's not a bad draft to me. It's just you're not going to have a franchise player in this draft, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think too much has been made about, oh, this just isn't a good draft. Like, all right, man, it's fine. There's no guy that we've been talking about for the last 5 years like Victor Wembanyama.
Right.
But I don't think that means that.
I'm looking at the top 10 right now of guys that I've seen multiple times. I'm thinking of like college guys, basically. I like all these guys. I like Klingon. I like Castle. You know how I feel about Dalton Connect, Rob Dillingham. Yeah. That's my boy too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Reed Shepard. These guys like can play. They can they're good ball players, maybe just not franchise.
This is you're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM, West Sacramento 98.5 FM, KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. always live on the free Odyssey app. We think Trista might be joining us. I don't know. Well, it's Tuesday, right?
It is Tuesday.
It's Trista Tuesday. Maybe Trista touched that dial.
Maybe she's been sent.
Maybe she's still in Chicago. She was at the Cubs.
She was in Chicago. Yeah.
Went to Wrigley.
Yeah. I was gonna make a point. It was gonna be a great one too. It was gonna be it was gonna be as good as the Spurs are locked in on a player in the draft. It was going to be of that quality type point. It was gonna be like Emmy Award winning stuff.
That's why we're number one.
But my dumb ass thought it would be a good time to read the legal ID. So
well, what's the
Trista's not even here.
Yeah, you know what I think it is. Looking at this draft, one with the Kings at 13, like the process of evaluating this, I think, was so overwhelming for a lot of people. Because college basketball stinks right now. It's not fun to watch, right? Like, I've seen maybe a handful of these guys in live action, maybe no more than twice.
Mm. Yeah, college basketball had a rough season this past year. And you combine that with the fact of, like, so college basketball wasn't that great, and half of the top five are not college athletes, right? Like,
right.
You know, so you combine those two, and it just, people are just having a hard time getting a grasp on this draft. And understandably so, but I think there's some good players in there. There's some guys that can play basketball. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.